This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Fenari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by R.R. Riley. He is the author of the sci-fi novel, An Average Man.
How are you doing today, Ron?
I'm okay, you know? Been kind of crazy.
Yeah. It happens. Anyways, I like to start these interviews out with a fun question or two. So,
sure.
So, Ron, since you write sci-fi, are you a Star Wars person or a Star Trek person?
I didn't used to think I was either. I mean, I didn't have a favorite, but I've come down on the Star Trek side.
Okay.
But I'm not totally happy with Star Trek. You know.
Well, I mean, we're just gonna pretend that Star Trek, current Star Trek, doesn't exist. And,
okay,
it's hot garbage done by people who don't understand Star Trek.
Well, you know, it's so hard because, well, if you want to know my, put me on a reference, TOS, I'm TOS, that's it.
That's fair.
Original series, you know, and there's a little bit here and there. I'm one of those weird people that absolutely loved Voyager, except when they went down to the holodeck and then I hated it. But, you know, nobody else likes Voyager but me.
My problem with Voyager was I'm like, okay, you could just, like, set a time bomb on the caretaker's array, use the array, and then it blows up after you go back home. I don't...
Well, you know, if we were going and using logic, there isn't a single Star Trek that could stand up to that. You know, come on.
Fair enough. But this was, like, 14-year-old me that was deeply invested in, like, TNG and Space Nine.
Yeah.
And,
I can't disagree. You know, by that time, Braga and what's-his-name were fully in charge of everything. And they just did some boneheaded moves. When they announced they were going to make what's the one that went back? It's supposed to be the first Star Trek. Yes, when they first announced it was like 2 years ahead. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this will be so awesome. You don't have any outs. You don't have the transporter. You have to do it the hard way. You're not going to have all these things. So what they do? The first thing they do is they introduce the transporter. I mean, I don't know if it's how many decades or maybe 100 years before it existed. All these stupid things because they're too cowardly. Oh, it's too hard to do that.
Well, I mean, you know the Battlestar Galactica remake, right?
Yeah.
You know, Ronald D. Moore pitched basically that Battlestar Galactica remake as Voyager, like a really gritty, they're going to have to fight for survival. Every episode is going to be them, like, not having luxuries and stuff. Yeah. And Braga was like, nah. And so Ronald D. Moore's like, all right, fine, I'm going to just do Battlestar Galactica remake now.
Well, I'm glad he did. And I have some, you know, any Star Trek you're going to have something with. But that was it was gritty. Most of the time it was like fun and real.
Yeah.
He's out here.
Anyways, Ron, how long have you wanted to be an author?
Well, since I was about 11 or 12, which is about 500 and something years, I think.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. So let's talk about your novel. It's called An Average Man. It's a sci-fi novel. It looks kind of almost military sci-fi from what I saw on Amazon, but is that correct?
It has it in it. I love military science fiction now. I mean, in the last decade or so, I just love it. I really like my old school roots in science fiction too. You know, Heinlein. My first book was.
Well, come on. I mean, Heinlein invented the sci-fi military genre.
Yeah. I love Andre Norton, too, who didn't. But I love those things. I've been accused of mixing so many genres in this book that it's almost not fair to categorize it. But
fair enough.
It's probably true. But there's some heavy military science fiction. Give it away a little bit, you know, toward the last third of the book. But I like to think there's drama. I really like my characters. So, yeah.
All right. Well, tell us about your average man and what's going on in this novel.
Well, surprise, surprise. He's an older man. He's about 60 or so, give or take 500 years. He's got some health issues. He's got a bad back, different things like that. He's been trying to figure out what to do about it. He can't work anymore. Got a daughter. She's a teenage daughter. He started kind of late. And he's just your average kind of guy. He's not particularly brave. He's not particularly vulgar or weird or odd. He's just a guy. You know, he's got loves his family, loves his daughter. And he doesn't want to give up. He's definitely trying to make it, even though he's got some big challenges. So.
Okay. So what are those challenges? I mean, besides his bad back.
The physical things are the ones he can't work, so he can't make any money. They're having to figure out what to do with that. Some of the stuff is not necessarily mentioned in the book, but the biggest is his health. He has a heart issue. Okay. So he's definitely got some limitations on how strenuous he can do things, at least at the beginning.
Okay. So what's going on in his life? He's other than he's got a hard life. I mean,
he hasn't had a hard life, but his health is
bad. Fair enough. I'm trying to say, there's okay. So we got a guy, he's down on his luck, but we also got a military science fiction thing going on here. I'm just trying to understand how he, you know, if you want to talk about any of the plot, trying to make it interesting for the listeners.
Sure. Well, in pretty much in chapter one, he and his daughter are accosted by an alien spacecraft. It kind of appears out of nowhere, surprises them, and the aliens come out fighting each other, and him and his daughter are stuck in the crossfire.
Okay.
And at some point, to get away from the crossfire, they get into the ship because it's the only place where you're not going to get hit by all the guns.
Okay.
And he gets hit and knocked out, and later on he wakes up, he's somewhere else. He's not on Earth anymore. He's on another planet. So these people are the ones that end up doing the military science fiction part.
So now our average guy, he's trying to get back home make sure his daughter gets safe. His daughter's with him or not?
Yes. And that is true. I mean, he's constantly trying to figure out how do we get back home.
Okay.
My wife doesn't know where we are. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you want me just to keep talking, or wait for your questions, or what?
You can do all the talking you want. That makes it easier for me.
And how much do you want me to?
This is your chance to like sell your story to the audience.
Oh, I love the story. So they get I won't say kidnapped, but they get taken by these people from another planet. They're very human looking, except for one of them. He turns out to be he's literally a giant. He's about 10 foot tall or so, give or take, 9 or 10 foot tall. Just huge man. But other than that, seems human. They take him to their planet because he's hurt so bad they can't treat him on the ship. So they take him back so they can save him.
Okay.
He's hurt really bad. Yeah. And awesome. He gets there. They help him. They save him. And then they start befriending these people. They become their friends. And they get tours, short tours, introductions to different things. They get to see these people have been on this planet. These humans have been on this planet for millennia. And he keeps asking, well, how in the hell did they get here? How'd they get here? There's no way. And they keep hinting. They know something about Earth. They recently discovered our Earth. Didn't mean to. Didn't know it was there. But it just so happens to fit into their legends. And they know about it. They know a little bit about it. And there's one of them that even tells them, we came from Earth, too, just like you did. And he's like, no way. There's no way you could have come from Earth that far back. So it's not so much a mystery, but part of the story. They get involved with doing some things. It turns out that they want him to help them. He's a master computer programmer. And they had visited Earth and found some technology that he had created.
That was different
than what they, but they found a use for it because they're a different culture. They just think slightly different. They wanted to use it, so they incorporated it into some of their technology, and they started having trouble and they couldn't figure it out, so they decided just to bring him to help figure it out. So that's part of that. And in the middle of all this, they get the word that the neighboring planet, well, let me go back, let me step back a little. They are part of a group of people that escaped the Earth, I don't know, 6-10,000 years ago.
Okay.
In a ship, kind, I guess you'd call it an ark, kind of. And some of them go to they all go to this one place, and it's not acceptable. They thought it had a planet, but it didn't. It's not an acceptable place. So they were there for a while, built some things, established some things, but then decided to leave. And then part of them rebelled. They stole some ships, killed some people, and went off. The ones who remained went to, this is Iva, the planet where our main character's name is Dan. He ends up going to Iva with these people, quite pleasant people, you know. But these people came here. The other group that split off, that rebelled, went to a different place. And they go to a place called Cayenne. In the past 100 years or so, the Ivans have discovered how to make what they call, Dan calls it a blink ship, because it basically blinks from here and blinks into existence elsewhere.
Okay.
So they can literally blink from one space, one star, to another instantly. Their only holdback to that for the last 100 years is that they have to get outside the influence of the local star. They have to get outside the I can't think of any words today, can I? But they have to get outside. And in the last year or less, they discovered by accident that some of their ships, a brand new group of ships, there's only 5 of them, can actually blink to anywhere in any star. They can go all the way up to orbit the planet. They can, but they have to go to Earth first. Somehow the blink goes to Earth and then blinks to where they want to go. But the Cayenne are not a friendly people. They're not a nice people. Their foundation was kind of a he's okay.
Okay.
I've got my big dog out. He's digging a hole.
Yeah,
I shouldn't dig a hole. And they do that. It's not part of the story, by the way.
No.
But they decide these Cayenne have been stealing some of these 100-year-old ships they've been doing for whatever, the blink ships, the older blink ships, and they've been modifying them and secretly turning them into warships. So they have decided they're going to take over, conquer Iva, conquer over their solar system. Both planets there's Iva, and there's another planet where the giants live, and they want to conquer that. And so they launch an attack on the solar system, and that's where the military science fiction comes in.
Okay, cool. So where did the idea for this story come from?
Oh my gosh, you know, this particular story, it's an okay story. I've written it fairly okay, I guess you'd say. I have no illusions there, but I've been thinking about this for more than 10 years, this particular story, at least elements of it, the world and those kinds of things. And I just never could get around to launching myself into writing.
Okay.
And then we moved here. We were in Southern California, moved to back to Texas. I'm from Texas, moved back to Texas. And then in the last 2 years, I kind of decided I got to get serious about this. I'm not actually getting younger, so I might as well do this. And then in the last year and a half, I put my nose to the grindstone and kind of went for it, and did a bunch of stuff, finished it this time last year. I'd hired an editor and different things, and there you go. Launched it out. I launched it the first part of this year on Amazon, and that's where it's at.
Awesome. All right. So how did you write it? Did you plot it out? Did you just sort of pants it and make it up as you go along?
I'm kind of a mixture. All these different people talk about things. I'm not necessarily real structured about some things, but I am about others. My editor said that the world that I, because he has to see my notes, and he goes, the world you have laid out is just, wow. He only knew one person that had built that much of the world. Because I've got all kinds of notes. They do this, you know, the culture and different things and how they do that. Most of that never enters into the book, but it does influence what they do and how they do it. At least I know. I know how they got there. I know how their culture developed. I know what's happened over the last few thousand years, and I know what happened on the other planet too, on Cayenne. But when I sit down to write, I have those things in mind, and I actually might have a little bit of a loose chapter structure. When I sit down to write, if it goes somewhere else, if the character does something else, whatever, or if I get an idea as I write, then that's where I go. So that's why I'm kind of a mix.
Okay.
So I've probably known a lot of people like that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I write. So it's
just
fun. So how many pages of notes do you have for your world building?
Well, that's the thing. I thought you were going to ask me this. I write everything on my iPhone.
Okay, that's fine.
so I don't know how many pages it is, but it's three files, very, very deep. One is my detailed, one is my less detailed, and one is just the one I use for quick reference.
Fair enough. So do you write your novel on your iPhone?
I do.
Do you do like voice to text, or do you actually? Like
I don't. Okay. I don't, but I'm thinking about trying that because some of the last couple of updates to iOS, their autospell has just gotten worse and worse and worse. It used to be halfway acceptable. The typing autospell. The Audible autospell seems to be okay. And it's like, well, if I'm going to have to edit the dang thing anyway, I might as well just, you know, go Audible. But yeah. one of the main reasons I write on my iPhone is that I can lean back in my easy chair. Oh, surprise! I've got a bad back. But yeah. It's hard to sit. I can't sit at a desk anymore with, you know, typing, that kind of thing, not for very long.
No, I understand that. I have sciatica, and sitting in chair, it I can't do it for like too long. I can sit on a recliner, but I can't do it on the chair. So I work.
You can't ignore it. You can't just say, well, I'm gonna ignore that and keep working. But no.
No, because it sends pain down your leg and it sucks. But like on the recliner, it's usually fine.
I mean, I don't have sciatica, but I understand what it does. And I have, well, anyway, when somebody says they got back pain, all I can do is just have compassion.
Well, you know, sciatica is like ass pain. It's because it's right. It's where the nerve branches off from the spinal cord and goes through the pelvic bone.
So
it's a sciatic nerve and it pinches inside the pelvic bone. And so that's why, like when you're sitting, you're kind of putting pressure on it.
What do you do for it?
You know, you walking actually helps. So walking around, like as I said, sitting in if I can have my legs reclined up, then that's fine. But like you can't do that on a desk chair. Yeah. So like I work from my recliner now with a laptop and stuff for the most part.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, I like it when people find solutions to that stuff, but it's tough.
Yeah. When I first developed it, I was working because I had quit my job and I started like writing full time. So I was spending like hours sitting at my desk and then it just got worse and worse to the point where it was unbearable. And I finally went to the doctor. That's how bad it got. I was like, I gotta go to the doctor. Yeah. And then he was just like, just like walk and sleep with like a pillow between your legs.
Yeah.
And and then just like don't if you gotta sit, put your legs up. And also like a heat pad helps too.
Well, the best to you on that.
Yeah. So anyways, are you working on anything else after An Average Man? Is there more to the series or do you got another project in the work?
I have about five or six partials hanging around, but chapter two is okay. I'm on about chapter 12 for chapter two for this series.
Okay.
And, cool. I'm kind of weird. I mean, if I get down to it, I literally can shock myself at how much I get done, but then the interruptions and such, and then I'm one of those poor people who has a hard time restarting.
Yeah, that was my fear when I go on vacation, I wouldn't be able to get back into it. But I'm just obsessed with writing so much that it's not a problem for me.
Awesome. Well, besides that, we're twins. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a personality. It's like I don't care about things unless I actually care about it. Like I can't. It's like I won't put real effort into something that I don't care about. But if I care about it, I can put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, I've learned to care about some things. You know, there are basic things that you have to do.
Right.
But you know, you can make yourself. I'm gonna find some way to enjoy this. But that other part, I completely understand. It's like I don't care about that. Yeah.
That's why schooling doesn't work because I'm like I'm bored. I don't really care what you're teaching me. But like I can spend hours watching like documentaries on like the weirdest subjects because they interest me. But
you're in school.
No, like just on YouTube or whatever. I'll just go like, oh, here's a documentary about why the Incan Empire fell.
You said something about your schooling. Are you in school now?
Oh God, no, I'm 40.
Well, but still.
No, well, I dropped out of community college back when I was like 19.
I did that a couple of times.
And I don't know. I just never went back.
You are a young. Remember, take it from me. You are a young man.
Oh yeah, well. Starting
even if you have
that way. Yeah. Well, that. Yeah.
Yes, I had a kind of high blood pressure. I have some like genetic defect where like I got high blood pressure at 30.
Oh dang.
Yeah.
What do you take?
You know, Lanesipril and HTZ. Yep. So
ask your doctor about what's the brand name of it? It's Tribenzor. It's generic now, but it's a little tiny pill that has all the three things in it.
Yeah.
My blood pressure is usually about 110 or 115.
Yeah.
Or 70 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm usually good on it. Yeah. I don't know, it works.
I'm just nosy that way.
Yeah. Other than it gives me a dry cough sometimes.
Oh, that's not fun.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. I just suck on a lozenge. Anyways, where can our listeners connect with you on the internet, like on social media and stuff?
I have a website. It is Rippy Books. That's RIPPYBOOKS. Rippy Books, my last name, and books.com. They can connect with me on Amazon, of course. Buy my book. And then I have a email that I use for RR Rippy, and that's contact me at rippybooks.com. Surprise. So complicated.
Awesome. Yep. Well, it's really great talking with you, Ron.
Awesome.
You have yourself a great day.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com. And follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.